So today I'm here at the lovely offices of Debenhams Otway in St Albans, our advertising partners here on Radio Verulam, and this is our series of interviews with our legal experts. Today I'm talking to Michael Henry. He's a senior associate here at Debenhams Otway. And Michael, we're going to talk today about inheritance disputes, and in particular a specific case that's been in Hertfordshire recently and made national news.
Yes, hello. The case that you mention is a very important one, as it not only involves a local Hertfordshire lady, but is the first inheritance dispute case to reach the Supreme Court and has been heard in December. The judgment is awaited, and it is going to be very useful for all the practitioners in the inheritance dispute area to have the guidance from the top court in the land on this particular area and how those cases will be dealt with going forwards.
So am I allowed to ask who's involved?
Indeed, yes. It's a case involving a lady who was left nothing under the will made by her mother. The mother chose to benefit free animal charities, RSPCA, RSPB and Blue Cross, and the lady in question, the daughter, brought a claim under the legislation from 1975, the Inheritance Provision for Family and Dependents Act 1975, requesting the courts make a different award than the provision she got under the will, which, as I mentioned, was nil.
How do you start with that? So she's been left out of the will, basically. The charities all benefit. She says, I'd like to have some of that money. Where do you start with that?
Well, these cases are very difficult, and the starting point, of course, is testamentary freedom. Everybody has the right to dispose of his or her own property in any way they wish. In this country, we do, however, have a qualification on that, which is the courts, in certain rare cases, have the power to make an alternative award, but it will only be in cases when the situation is assessed as failing to make reasonable financial provision for the applicant.
The mother obviously had a reason to leave the daughter out of the will. How do you then decide who wins, so to speak?
That's a very good question, and one that troubles the courts from time to time. This particular case that I have in mind, not a case we're involved with, I might add, simply one that's widely reported because of its significance to the legal practice at large. Mm. This particular case grapples with that, and I think the reason that it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court is that at various stages judgments have been made and appeals upheld through the Court of Appeal and so on. The courts have to consider quite a range of factors. They're known as the Section 3 factors. And very quickly to run through them, there's the financial needs and financial resources of the applicant or any other applicant, the financial needs and financial resources of the beneficiaries, the size and nature of the estate, any moral obligations owed by the deceased to the parties, any physical or mental disability of any of the relevant parties, and any other factor the court considers relevant, including the conduct of the parties, are some of the main factors the court must consider. So it's quite a wide range, and you can have differing interpretations on some of those factors.
I'm just thinking, if I was one of those charities, I'd feel really awkward because, you know, as a charity, you don't want to be seen to be going, that's our money, we want it, you know, if somebody's donated it at the expense of a family member missing out. But at the same time, you have to respect the wishes of the person that did that in the first place, I guess. It must be very awkward for them.
Undoubtedly, and these cases are very sad in many instances. This particular case, the lady in question had been estranged for many years from her mother, and that had been prompted when she left home, I think at age 17, I read, as the mother disapproved of her boyfriend at the time. Oh. The lady, in fact, went on to marry that gentleman and have a family with him and remained married for many, many years. The court viewed the situation as a whole in some of the earlier decisions and made an award out of the best part of a £500,000 estate, awarded the applicant £165,000 approximately. And that was taking into account that she was in dire financial straits and no income other than state benefits, no capital, and there were no other children of the family. There had been no connection with the charities during the lifetime of the deceased, and a sizable chunk of the estate had come from the father of this this applicant, whose estate had passed on to the mother upon his death. So I believe that additional factor was taken into account by the court at the Court of Appeal stage. We wait to see what the Supreme Court makes of all of this, but the charities are not trying to overturn in their appeal to the Supreme Court the entire case, just the amount that's been awarded. It had been £50,000 at an earlier judgment stage, and it got increased at the most recent Court of Appeal decision stage.
So the lady was quite happy to walk away with 150, 160,000, and the charity said, no, that's our money, we want to carry on fighting against you.
Yes, to an extent. It was indeed an appeal by the charities, I believe. Although, as I say, it's more on a point of gaining clarification for the future to an extent, because this is, I won't say new law, as it dates back to 1975 and before that in an earlier version from the 1930s, but it will be the first opportunity for the Supreme Court to take a look at one of these cases. The charities balance their approach, I'm sure. They have to do their best for their charitable objects of their charitable purposes, but at the same time, they have to take into account this legislation and how it can be deployed and used by applicants in certain circumstances where there's not reasonable provision in all the circumstances.
So I'm guessing that this case is relevant because you said it's the first case that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. Is that going to change law then, possibly the outcome of this case?
I think what it will do is give practitioners in the area and people involved in this type of case greater clarity on the law. The underlying legislation will remain in place, but the interpretation of what is reasonable financial provision for an applicant's maintenance is hopefully going to be better clarified. There are a number of different categories of potential applicants, and this is one by an adult child, and those, in my view, are perhaps the most controversial category, as often the claims are independent individuals, independent in the sense of no longer living at home with parent and or financially supported. But there are various other categories of applicant, infant children or cohabitee or spouse applicants, that are often less controversial claimants in this type of claim. So the law won't necessarily be changed as such, but hopefully clarified.
When will we expect to hear what happens? I'm very eager to know now.
Yes, we'd all like to hear as soon as possible. This case was heard, I think, in the same week or two as the Supreme Court were grappling with a Brexit matter of national importance.
Right.
The judgment is not likely to be handed down quite as swiftly as in that case. All the practitioners hope it's not too long, but that will depend, I imagine, on how many of the Supreme Court judges wish to write a detailed opinion in the judgment, and that will take as long as it takes, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So just my final question then, with all this going through, do you have any advice for people listening today that are tied up with inheritance disputes?
Yes, I'd say whether potentially an applicant or a beneficiary or executor defendant, act quickly, as there are time limits that apply. They're quite short, 6 months from the date of grant of probate for an Inheritance Act claim, and find a specialist solicitor, preferably one who is a member of the Association Contentious Trust and Probate Specialists. Then you know you're in the hands of someone who has specialist knowledge in this niche area. And finally, your lawyer representing you well will of course encourage you to consider alternative dispute resolution, which can lead to cost savings and time savings in appropriate cases, rather than taking the route all the way through to a trial.
And all the way through to the Supreme Court, as in the one lady in Hertfordshire. Michael, as always, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for this wonderful advice.
Thank you very much.
We will, of course, wait with bated breath for the outcome of the Supreme Court judgment. But until then, we carry on our interviews with our legal experts, Debenhams Ottaway, here in St Albans.